Hello and welcome to Think Rant. I'm John Stabler and today is the 17th of June 2011. Today's a Friday. A bit different from our usual Thursday. But we've been busy. And I'd like to introduce my two special guests this evening. I'd like to welcome a man who's no stranger to courting controversy. He's upset many in divided opinion with his latest documentary, How I Escaped the 9/11 Terror Attacks. It's outspoken transsexual and professional base jumper, Stephen Brett.
Evening.
And I'd also like to say hello to 3-time Grammy nominee for Best Actor and currently fighting extradition proceedings for his alleged involvement in the euthanization of tens of thousands of disabled people in the Democratic Republic of Congo. It's Dr. Death himself, Trevor Williams.
Hello.
Yeah, did I build you up enough there, Trev?
I actually have no objection to any of the stuff you said about me. That's fine.
Yeah, I mean, they haven't said you're guilty of it. They're just trying to extradite you.
I have objections to what you say about me.
Oh, okay.
I can't believe you suggest for me I go base jumping. That's just stupid.
Because you don't like heights, do you?
I don't like heights.
So there you go.
Transsexual base jumper. Was it just that you were wearing very frilly, baggy clothing at the time?
I did no base jumping. I refute it. I refute it.
All right. Okay.
Welcome
to
the show.
The building is just stupid.
Well, welcome to the show. And we thought it was going to be a slow one this week, but last minute we found lots of stories, so we're just going to go straight for it. I'm not going to go first this week. Trevor is.
Okay. Well, we talked a bit about a shit list of phrases that piss you off. I can't remember what's on our shit list. I don't have that written down. But do we have evidence suggests appearing in a newspaper at any time? Because you pretty much know it's a shit story if the words evidence suggests appears in it. And this week there's been three that really annoy me. But let's have a look. The one that came out today was, if you drink, your kids are more likely to drink.
Wasn't this more specific, though, wasn't it?
That was a study. Oh, yeah, they're more likely to drink to excess.
If they watch you get drunk.
If they watch you get drunk and you let them know that drinking is actually fun and good, then they're more likely to go over the top with it. But they say binge drinking, but what they mean is they interviewed some teenage boys and asked if they had been very drunk on more than two occasions. The questions they asked weren't representative. It wasn't a large study. It all seems vaguely pointless. And another annoying story in a similar vein was that there's apparently in the future a cure for Alzheimer's. It's on the way. Well, no, it's not. It's a small but significant bit of progress with rats. They've done a study on rats where they can flick a switch and make it forget a bit of maze solving that it's learned. And if they flick the switch the other way, they remember again. That is quite remarkable. That's a big step from physical to mental. It's a leap, but it's rats. There's such another massive leap to go from rats to humans. It's mental. But, I mean, if you ever heard Michael Marshall banging on about journalism and PR, it's quite funny to hear him ranting on. He's on Skeptics with a K and Righteous Indignation sometimes. And he'll always say about, it's usually in the third paragraph that there'll be a mention of some company that sponsored the bit of research. Now, I realize that PR companies pay a lot of money for bullshit studies and surveys. And if the papers didn't print them, then these surveys wouldn't exist. They wouldn't be worth their while. And the universities that take that money would then be the losers. But in those two particular ones, there wasn't a mention of a company. It was just that the university had done the studies.
Oh, right. Okay.
So what's the deal with that? It was a preemptive, pointless conjecture about preliminary studies. Surely it only devalues the work. I mean, somebody interested in a cure for Alzheimer's, for example, will be excited and then get frustrated by the lack of progress. I don't get what the researchers get from that publicity. And it must be that they push it. I can't imagine that there are people just loitering around every single university. There aren't enough reporters these days to get that done.
Maybe it's just like a slow news day. I mean, I'm sure, you know, universities just want to promote themselves, so they're always just churning out little tidbits. I know, just in case it's a slow news day and someone's going to pick it up and run with it. It could just be that simple, really.
Yeah, it could be a government commission study that previously in the year, maybe 6 months ago, it showed that Scottish teenagers drink more than everybody, every other kind of teenager in the country, for example. Not that they necessarily do, but, you know, the kind of thing where when the government needs publicity deflected from something, they'll come out with some study. And yeah, they do pay for crap like that. But a paper might think, we've just got column inches to fill. And then they find the study and say, well, how else can we spin this?
Mm.
I can see that being done.
Yeah. So, yeah, but, I mean, we could make a regular feature of inaccuracies in papers and things like that. I mean, have you been to Tabloid Watch, Trev? Because that's where I get a lot of stories from.
I haven't been there this week.
Yeah, I haven't been there this week, so...
I've not been there for a while either.
No, but I recommend that to people because you'd be surprised how often the Mail, the Express, the Star is a particular favourite one.
Yeah.
Just literally make stuff up.
Yeah, I mean, how many times in recent months has the Star had to apologise for printing a story which had no basis whatsoever, in fact?
Mm. I mean, they basically, in their apology, say it, they almost say the whole thing was fabricated. But they actually had a front page, big black and white headline saying the immigrants are making us all gay or something.
Do they not make apology like a regular feature? Don't they have page 7 or something dedicated?
Maybe they should just have a separate paper, the Star, and then the Star apologies, which like apologizes for everything in the previous day's paper. Sorry, not paper. Tabloid.
Whatever it is, yeah.
Yeah, I wouldn't even call it a paper. So, there you go. You done on that one, Trev?
Done with that one, but I've got other places to go. But who else wants to step in now?
Do you want to go, Steve, or shall I?
I haven't got a story, so...
Okay.
Excellent. Okay, here we go. over 20,000 hospital admissions due to people falling out of bed, the latest figures show. Now, these figures get produced every year, and I don't really know what purpose they serve, apart from the papers have a bit of a giggle. But yeah, 20,800 hospital admissions in England over a 12-month period were recorded as falling from a bed.
How do they collate this information? Because it's going to be like a textual thing. You know, if you report it in a hospital, they're going to write it down. And I'm just wondering, how do they put it, tally it all up? I mean, it must be an epic job to do.
Office of National Statistics?
Yeah, I mean, how many strange stories just get put down as I fell out of bed? When some old granny is saying, well, we had the two sex swings working in unison like a Newton's cradle, and then the cat jumped up, and you think, oh, Christ, you fell out of bed, love. I'm not making up a new tick box.
I happened to fall out of bed,
and this is now in my rectum.
Onto the Hoover.
Excellent. But, yeah, they've got other fall things. 12,000 in the same year for falling up. Falls involving chairs, 6,400 for falling from ladders, 1,200 for falling out of a tree, and only 170 for falling from a cliff. And
well, they usually bypass the hospital in a lot of those cases, though, don't they?
But it's mostly women over 80 who are having all these falls. So judging by those statistics, it seems like it's far, far safer if you're a woman, 80 or older, to kip on the edge of a cliff than it is in a bed.
Mm-hmm.
Only 170, you know, against 20,800. Much safer on the edge of a cliff. Get your sleeping bag. That's what I think. Actually, I should make it clear that that's not a genuine suggestion in case there are any Tories listening.
Is there seriously going to be a Tory listening to this? Apart from Jamie Gardner, perhaps. Hi, Jamie. If you are listening.
Token Tory, but he's not really a Tory, is it?
Yeah. I don't know. I've been speaking to him lately. I think he's getting further and further to the right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just thought the lady did protest too much, you know?
It Could be. Okay, I wanted to say something at this point. If you want to tweet us at ThinkRantNow. Stephen's got it on his funky iPad, so
I do.
If you want to give us a message,
nobody tweeted us yet,
or abuse us. Oh, that's why I'm reminding him now. If you want to abuse us, send it to there, or you can just abuse us on Facebook, or if you know my mobile number, you abuse me on that. It'll save me money. What else? Right, I'm going to move on with the story, if that's okay, because this was quite... I thought it was going to blow up into a bigger story than this, but it made it into the mail. EastEnders sparks uproar with gay bedroom scene before the watershed.
Oh, good grief.
So what's happened is EastEnders, you know, they're moving with the times. They're trying to be representative of people that live in this country, which would include gay people. And so they have a couple in there, and so they're just in bed, as couples do, and they have a kiss and a bit of a cuddle, you know, while there's dialogue going on, and apparently this is inappropriate to be shown before the watershed. Now, I mean, my only point is, if this had been a heterosexual couple, there wouldn't have been a complaint, because this kind of stuff is shown all the time.
Yeah, but you know why there's the outrage for it now, don't you? It's because you've had all the recent campaign of, you know, get the smut off the telly and get it back after the watershed and, you know, let's reclaim our telly for our kids before 9 o'clock. And that's been going on, hasn't it, for the last couple of weeks where, you know, they've had this report come out which produced new guidelines and, I guess, you know, I would hope that the male would have done the same had it been a heterosexual couple being filmed. However, I doubt they would have, because obviously, you know, it's a dirty gay couple, so therefore that's going to be newsworthy, because that's corrupting our children's minds. Which, it's a bit of a shame that they think that way. Really?
You got anything to add to that, Trev?
It makes me so cross that I'm kind of reluctant to start. Well, there's another thing. Apart from the obvious wrongness of just saying a gay couple just on a bed and having a bit of a kiss. Oh, that's so terrible. And you know damn well they would have no problem with a straight couple. There's also the way that they use the 9 o'clock watershed, like as if it's some sacred thing. Screw that. At 6 o'clock, I want to start watching things that are a bit more adult. And as the night progresses, then we can make it a bit like raunchier or dirtier words or more violent or whatever. But I hate the way that everything is pushed to 9 o'clock. Sky Atlantic, I'm lucky enough to get that channel, and there's some brilliant stuff, and it's all after 9 o'clock. And they showed Pulp Fiction the other day. Well, they can't have a single other program on. By the time Pulp Fiction has got adverts put in it, that's your entire evening. Start that at 9 o'clock, and it doesn't finish until about 1 in the morning.
Mm.
It's a damn long film. So when you push back to 9 o'clock, if you want to watch decent telly, you have to stay up ridiculously late watching everything.
Mm-hmm.
Or you just have to leave your DVR recording everything, in which case it messes with the statistics that are collated, and then the advertising revenues get all screwed with. It's all very complicated, and basically because we desperately don't want to see anything inappropriate in case our children happen to watch. Well, you've got to get the news several times a day, and dreadful things are happening in the world. You can't pretend that these things aren't happening.
Most definitely.
Not that I'm saying that a healthy gay relationship is a dreadful thing. Just the appalling idea that you have to protect the children. It's just like The Simpsons.
Isn't it?
And dear what's wrong
God,
with
would
what's
somebody
wrong,
think of the children?
Yeah, what's wrong with also just exercising some parental you know, ability and just turn the telly off, or don't let them watch it, or, you know, put on some Teletubbies or something. And I mean, what?
Yeah, but I couldn't possibly turn the telly over when I've got the opportunity to write the point of view.
This is a good point. You know, I mean, some people.
Yeah, I've
lives
got to watch it to the bitter end, so I can complain the points of view and have my letter come up on the television.
To be honest, I think you're wasting your time. There's no reason to watch a programme. Just complain about it anyway. Just read about it somewhere and then complain about it. Because how many people honestly listen to Jonathan Ross and bloody
Russell Brand.
Russell Brand? No one. Surely no one listened to that show. Maybe five people. Yeah. But someone got wins, and then there was 10,000 people.
Yeah, when there's something like 200 complaints or something after the first show, and then, you know, 5 days later, 20,000 complaints because it just gone viral.
And the thing is, the out of 10,000 people complaining, none of them was actually the person who they were actually misbehaving. So, random.
And there's a subject we might touch on later is the Terry Pratchett's documentary about assisted suicide. Of all the complaints that were registered in the BBC about that, a massive proportion of them were registered before the programme was shown. Most of them were done before it was shown.
It's ridiculous.
I was so offended. I was retroactively offended. I decided to be offended before I even saw the damn thing. How dare you?
What about the people that, you know, complained because they thought that they'd be offended, but watched it and actually said, oh, that's not too bad. I mean, did they take their complaint back? I doubt it.
Well, no, because they didn't actually go and watch it then, did they?
Oh, yeah. Okay, good point.
No, well, actually, the BBC said there were also a number of comments that were kind of supportive about it, I suppose, I guess. It was like they had no idea what to do with a comment from somebody that said, don't let those stupid, dismal, whining bastards grind you down. It was a good show. Hmm. Because, you know, people don't tend to do that.
No. We will move on to that show shortly. Before we do, I just wanted to stay with the gay theme. Just because, you know...
You don't have to explain to us. It's just fine.
Yeah.
Now this whatever feels right. Whatever feels right for you.
Well, this does feel right, okay? this is over in the States now, okay? So moving away from the UK and EastEnders, gay men kicked out of public pool in Kentucky. So basically what happened was there was two gay men who were actually disabled as well.
Disabled because they were gay, weren't they? Well, in America, that's
yeah. Apart from that, they had developmental and intellectual disabilities. They were in the pool. I don't think they actually did anything. They were with their carers when the pavilion, which was the pool staff, entered the pool and told them that they don't want gay people in the pool. So. I didn't realise that this was, you know, such a problem that, you know, you could catch it from swimming pools.
You can catch gay in swimming pools. That's no fact. Evidence has suggested recently that...
Evidence suggests?
Yeah, that you can catch gay from swimming with gays.
Yeah. So they got kicked out of the pool. You know, apparently their carers protested, saying, you can't do this. But apparently they said it's in the Bible, so that's it. And the Bible says you've got to get out of the pool. Now I want to know.
Where the scriptural verse is.
Yeah, because surely you should be able to quote it. I mean, if you're going to, you know, no bombing, okay? No diving, no bombing. That's rule number 10, right? You can name that
no
one.
No bombing may be misconstrued, John.
Yeah, bumming.
They may well have added a rule at the end that says no Santorum in the pool. You know what Santorum is?
No, it's gone above me now, Trev. You lost me.
Oh, guys, this is a treat. Santorum is the frothy mixture of lube and fecal matter that is sometimes the byproduct of anal sex. It was named after Rick Santorum, the Republican congressman, or is he a senator? I can't remember. I don't know what the difference is. But he was a man who came out and said that... being gay is the same as bestiality and no better than rape. And so they decided to make his last name mean the frothy mixture of lube and fecal matter, sometimes the byproduct of anal sex.
Thanks, Dad.
Sorry, you didn't know this, but Steve's actually eating a fudge cake at the moment.
Not anymore.
With a little bit of whipped cream.
Yeah. Okay. Hey, it's not me who's doing it this week. It's you and Trev, okay. Yeah.
But I'm just quoting.
I mean, that's just ridiculous, isn't it? I mean, you know, unfortunately, it's in Kentucky, isn't it? Because you would hope, being in America, that they would go and sue the ass off that company now.
Sue the ass. Sorry.
It was deliberate. I was setting them up for somebody to smack it
yeah,
out. But,
yeah.
But no, I would hope that they would sue him. I really do, because, you know, America being famous for its litigation, then I really hope they do, and they take them to town, because that's absolutely ridiculous. I mean, well, it's just beyond words. I can't.
And this is in the same week as I got another story here, okay, which is, it's so similar, it's unbelievable. But two lesbians went to Target Field, so it's baseball, where one of them decided to get up and go to the loo. So they you know, had a kiss, you know, see yeah. a bit, peck on the cheek. And after that, they were approached by a security guard who said, there's no grab ass in here, and said, don't... Now, I mean, she said, well, I didn't grab her ass, you know. Anyway, I just gave her a kiss. Yeah, you can't do that. So, and when she came back from the loo, this is the one, she went and approached him again and said, look, what's your problem? And then he says, if you're in this stadium, okay, you've got to obey the Ten Commandments, right?
Whoa!
So, again...
Yeah.
I mean, I don't, you know, I don't have them written down anywhere, but I'm pretty sure that that's not in them either.
No, I don't think...
Thou shalt not kiss...
thou shalt not kiss thy partner when going to the toilet at a baseball game. I don't think it quite features on the Israelis, you know, the Israelites' top priority messages from God laws, to be honest with you.
No, because they'd probably...
I prepared to really put my reputation on the line and say that nowhere in all the 612 commandments that are mentioned in the Bible does the phrase grab ass appear. I am certain.
Are you sure you want to stake your reputation on that,
Trev? God damn it, I'm sure.
Or two lesbians kissing, was that mentioned at all?
I know what happened with that guy. He looked over and he saw two women kissing. His mind immediately flashed to his porn collection and he thought, oh, I know what's coming next. Can't have that.
No, that sounds like a slippery slope I give it there.
Let's not go down that route just yet.
So, yeah.
That is appalling.
You know, that's pretty bad. You know, and I didn't want to beat up on whatever the justification was. I just couldn't believe that somebody said you obey the Ten Commandments, and that's not even in there. No. So, how
did the person in question respond to that? The security guard.
No,
saying,
no. I mean,
you idiot, it's not even in the Ten Commandments.
Yeah, well, you know, I think, to be fair, it's quite a, you know, pressurized situation. They probably just wanted to get out of it, to be honest. He hasn't been sacked, he's just been reprimanded and told that...
But he bore false witness. He told them that they had to obey the Ten Commandments when that's not actually a rule,
Trev,
so surely he has to be stoned to death. Oh, no, wait, it's okay.
The mortal authorities, you know, they've made their decision and they haven't suspended him. They've just given him reprimanded. But he will burn it now for lying. So, you know, he will get his comeuppance because that's karma. So,
good one.
Okay.
Man. Hey, can I...
hang on a second. I've got
a mini feature in a bit.
I've got something for you, Trev.
Please. Great.
Has Trev got a Catholic story this week?
Excellent. I definitely have. I love this one. Okay, Catholics in California have been praying to Saint Anthony, the patron saint of lost items, for the swift return of a sacred relic. Stolen during a 9 a.m. Mass, a 40-centimeter tall case with angel-shaped handles containing a 780-year-old religious relic of Saint Anthony. So clearly he's the man for the job.
Personally...
They lost.
I can't see how it's going to work. If they haven't got their idol, then how's it going to work?
That's right. Well, police are looking for a man who was seen at all five masses the previous day, perhaps on the reasonable assumption that anybody that interested in Catholic services
that was
must
the priest,
be at least borderline criminal.
That was the priest.
Yeah, borderline criminal.
Yeah.
Well, there's no borderline about it, is there?
So he's there casing the joint. Now, not being funny, but Catholic Mass goes on for a while. You know, you wouldn't need to go five times to case the joint. You could do it in one sitting, surely.
Well, is it a full Mass, or is it just like, you know, a short, you know, said Mass instead of a sung Mass?
They don't do.
Yeah, they do.
They do abbreviate.
Well, they're moving
it,
with the time, Sean. They're moving with the time.
Wow, they move. You heard it here. You heard it here first. The Catholics are moving with the time. It's brilliant.
Cool. Maybe they're going to bring out Catholic Mass Effect.
I think.
And all the sales will only help. Surely.
Have they got any leads, Trev, on the relic? You know, other than
suspicious
the man
looking
been...
bloke. Yeah, that's it. He was hanging around a church a lot. He must be dodgy. No, they're just praying to the saint who lost his
anymore.
Own relic.
He's not there. He's been taken out.
Well, you know, at least they're doing something constructive.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay.
Bless.
Okay, I got another one.
That was
one.
Charmingly pointless.
Let me get this one in quick, because this is another quick one we can just rant about and move off, and then we can get to some serious stuff. Now,
okay.
A couple of times on this podcast before Trev came along, and I don't know whether we've mentioned it with you on here as well, we've discussed these faith-healing people in the States, Oregon, who rather than get their children, you know, medical assistance, they just pray instead, and invariably the child ends up either, you know, terribly injured or dead.
There was a type 1 diabetic girl who died.
Yeah.
Because prayer, it does not equal insulin.
Exactly. So it's quite serious. And what's been happening is these people have been going to trial and they've been using their religion as a basically a get-out clause to avoid serious, you know, doing serious time or even getting off scot-free.
Any time at all.
Yeah, exactly. So the local government is obviously trying to close this loophole because everyone's up in arms about children dying. And they've passed it. Which is good news.
Yep.
I think I reported this quite a few weeks ago. But I just wanted to highlight what somebody who voted against the bill had to say about it, okay?
Is it in Ten Commandments?
No, it's nothing to do with... Actually, it's nothing to do with religion at all.
Okay.
It's just a purely Republican, we need to save money position.
Okay.
Here, and I will name and shame him. Republican Fred Girard of Staten spoke strongly against the bill, calling it a lousy policy. He said it needed to be reviewed for the cost impact on the budget. Okay, so let me just spell this out for you, okay? Minimum penalties in certain cases would go from 120 to 300 months in prison and cost an additional X amount per day in prison beds, etc. So his argument against the bill, okay, is that because more people are going to get prosecuted, it's going to cost more money, okay? So that, yeah, exactly. But as if to try and back up his point slightly, he said, if the measure becomes law, it means a person could face the same level of punishment as someone who goes into a liquor store and shoots someone in a robbery. This is going to an extreme. So in other words, he's saying that killing your child isn't as extreme as going into a liquor store and shooting somebody. There you go.
No, there's nothing you can say to it, really, is there? You know?
Why didn't you think before you open your mouth and just say something so obviously absurd? And what the hell, dude? Kids don't count. You know, they're only young. That, you know, they haven't got used to life yet, so they're not going to miss it as much as some guy in a shop.
And, you know, some guy getting shot in a liquor store raid, you know, bottles of booze might get broken or something, you know, and that would be a tragedy if that happened.
Alcohol abuse, eh?
Yeah. Tragedy.
Had the kid got to voting age yet?
I see. You've got to look after the voters. Yeah. Okay.
Can American prisoners vote, though?
No, probably not. They're still killing them over there.
I know, but they've got some fucked up laws, haven't they, in America? So it wouldn't surprise me if they were.
Yeah, good point. Okay, I'm going to do... you've got a new feature, haven't you, Trev? Before you do that, I wanted to do this week's Guess the Year.
No!
What's the current score, Steve?
I think it's about 5-1, isn't it?
5-1.
Okay. And actually, because Trev won when I wasn't here.
Yeah, the only way Trev can... Yeah.
Oh, that's 5-2 then, isn't it? Because you did win one. On your own merit, Trev, I believe.
Yeah, yeah, you did. Yeah, it's 5-2.
It's 5-2. Yeah.
No, I didn't.
Okay. Yeah, you
yeah,
did.
You did. I'm sure you did. I mean, really? You always go back and listen through, but I'm fairly certain you did.
I don't remember that.
Anyway, Steve is still kicking your ass. Actually, no, it's not. It's 5-1. He hasn't won one.
Oh, okay.
Sorry. Okay, here we go.
Sorry, Trev, giving you false hope there.
Quick thanks, remind... thanks for that. That's great.
The rules for people that don't know, I'm just going to read out some clues, and then whoever guesses the year first gets a pint, and let's go with it. Okay. June the 13th, Pioneer 10 becomes the first man-made object to leave the solar system.
Trev, 1991.
No, sorry. You're locked out. April. Carrie Mullis discovers polymerase chain reaction, a technology crucial for DNA sequencing.
Steve, 1998.
No, sorry. July the 1st, Buckminster Fuller, American architect, dies.
Architect of America.
American architect. Okay. You know, he's an American guy who designed buildings.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
February 16th, the Ash Wednesday fires in Victoria and South Australia claim the lives of 76 people in one of Australia's worst bushfires ever.
Steve, 1992?
Nope.
Did you say that, Trev, already?
I think I did, yeah.
You did, didn't you?
Trev, 1999?
Nope, sorry.
Got it.
May the 6th, Stern magazine publishes the Hitler Diaries, which are later found to be forgeries.
Trev, 96?
Nope.
Ah.
The DeLorean Motor Company ceases production in this year.
No more time machines.
October the 2nd, Neil Kinnock is elected leader of the British Labour Party. You guys are in the wrong decade.
Wow, I'm amazed by
1983.
That.
1983.
He's got it! He's got it!
I've done it! I've got it!
Well done, Trev. Well done, Trev.
Oh, yes. I'm so happy. I'm so happy.
Who do you want to thank right now, Trev?
It's strangely disappointing, actually. Bit of an anticlimax.
I can't believe we're so far out, though, on that.
It's the Pioneer 10 and the DNA sequencing and... you know, yeah, it throws you out. It can really
but I honestly thought the Ash Wednesday fires were much later than that as well.
No. And I mean, if you hadn't got it off Neil Kinnock, that's a really good guess to go straight into the right decade and then and get it bang on.
I would have hit 82 is what I'd have gone for there.
I mean, after that, I was going to be talking about Lebanon, Israel, United States signing agreements, Ronald Reagan, and... The one that would have given it away, of course, was it was in this year that Flashdance and Return of the Jedi were box office hits.
Obviously.
Everyone knows Return of the Jedi was 83, surely.
No, I was thinking of Flashdance, that's what they're giving it to me.
Oh, right.
Kevin Bacon's finest moment.
5-2, he's starting to claw it back.
He is, I'm worried.
You know, and the thing is, we haven't even discussed, obviously, we're going to have to bring this to an end. We can't just go on ad infinitum.
Why not?
No, because we got to declare a winner every so often and then reset the scoreboard.
Oh, okay.
It's only fair. So we're going to have to do it in seasons or something. I don't know.
Okay.
Or should we do it now to declare me the winner before Trev catches me up and overtakes me?
No, no.
The first of five. Is it?
we'll run it for 6 months. 6 months is the competition length, so I'll calculate it. Don't worry.
Okay.
But it gives, you know.
Cool.
So, go on, Trev. You've got a feature.
Yeah. It's Think Rants, Link Hands. If anybody's listening to this with somebody else on proper speakers and not just, you know, on the bus, you have to go and hold their hand. I want you two guys to hold each other's hands because this is the saddest story of the week.
I'm not going to hold his hands, and you've just done this just so. all right, okay, I'm holding his hand. Hurry up.
Great.
Hang on, I'm going to take a picture of this so it can go on Facebook, okay? So you know it's happened. Okay. Go on, carry on.
Woman sends two cats to the vet when one falls ill and he puts the wrong one down by mistake.
Oh no.
Steve, sad story, sad story.
That's a laugh of sadness. Oh yes, that famous sad laughter. A couple who were devastated to be told one of their two cats needed to be put to sleep because it was so ill were horrified when blundering vets put down the other cat by mistake. Mandy Raab was told by vets that her beloved pet Maddie needed to be put down because of a deteriorating leg condition. But Miss Raab from Telford, Shropshire, and partner Paul Saxton said they later discovered the wrong cat, Tammy, instead of Maddie, had been put down. Now, don't laugh. There's a terrible picture on the Daily Mail website of the two of them and their poor, innocent, unknowing faces staring pleadingly up at the camera. It's really heartbreaking. And there's a picture of the cats, too.
Oh, where was that too, on the Daily Mail site, Trevor? I've got to find it now.
Okay.
Was it under news?
Or it was on today's Daily Mail, today's website.
That is so sad.
When we took the two kittens to the vet, we asked him to look at Maddie's leg, but we weren't expecting bad news. And they thought that was bad news. Christ.
It is terribly sad because we are, you know, ridiculous with our pets, aren't we? You know, we sort of get very, very attached to them. And it is horrible, absolutely horrible. But
that is dreadful. And I do feel awful for the people.
That kind of reminds me of the time I went to the dentist and he took the wrong two teeth out.
Whoa.
Yeah. He got out of it, though, because apparently they needed to come out a couple of weeks later anyway. That's what he told me, anyhow.
That was his excuse, yeah.
There you go. But that is a genuinely sad story. I mean...
Yeah. Wow. Well, there's another story on the website as well, a link from that one, about a poor fellow with depression who killed himself after his cat went missing, and it came back 2 weeks later.
Oops.
How sad is that? But what worries me, I think that it says something mentally distressing about a person who chooses a cat for a pet. A pet that basically couldn't care less if you live or die, with the exception that you might make a nice meal for them if they're very lucky.
Hmm. Well, thanks, because I own
a cat. I know. Have you really?
But I think done there, Trev, is you have just come up with an argument against assisted dying.
Yeah.
Because obviously he committed suicide and his cat came back.
Yeah.
Now, you know, if he just spent $10,000 out and gone to Tigna's ass to end it all, what a terrible waste of money that would have been.
Yeah.
You know?
You're right.
He had a chance to live and to live on and to, you know, make his life better.
Yeah,
but,
and on that segue, thank you, Steve.
I thought you'd like it.
Maybe you should just become the host if you're going to do stuff like that and be all professional about it. Go on then. You can introduce this. Do you want to talk about it or?
Well, we are going to talk about it, aren't we? I mean, I think we've decided that we're going to do a special on it. I think, aren't we?
In a
few weeks' time. So we'll just touch on it today. But obviously, this week we had the. Documentary by Terry Pratchett, or you know, which Terry Pratchett presented on assisted dying on BBC Two, and obviously this has caused consternation among the people who are pro-life, whereas I think the people who are more sort of pro-choice, then I suppose, for want of a better word, see it as a step in the right direction. So. Basically, you know, we had Terry Pratchett, who suffers from Alzheimer's, which, as we know, is a degenerative condition and will eventually lead to him not being able to look after himself at all. And he was looking at the considerations of assisted dying and the impacts it would have, I suppose, for him and his family in the future. So we followed two gentlemen who did travel to Dignitas, and they did pay a rather fleeting visit to a cabbie who decided to fight on. But it was a very, very interesting programme, very moving programme, which I thought was very, very well done, to be honest with you. But I am coming from a position that I'm biased, and I was already in favour of assisted dying. So
so what do you think of the charges that it was a very biased documentary?
It was biased, but I think... It was honest about it. You know, it was biased, but it made no pretense. Terry Pratchett, you know, was quite clear throughout that he is in favour of assisted dying. And the programme followed two people who were going through the process. So, you know, clearly it had an agenda, and that was to show that actually, you know, assisted dying does what it says on the tin, which is, it gives people who are going to die potentially of horrible, horrible things the opportunity to end it all before it gets too much that they can't actually do it and they descend into, you know, vegetative states and what have you. And that's literally what we're talking about, really.
Trev, at this point, do you want to chime in? with your thoughts?
Yeah. That documentary didn't really address the problems. It wasn't an argument. It was just a presentation of some people who were going to take advantage of the system that's kind of available in this country if you've got the money for a trip to Switzerland. It was very honest about it. And a lot of the complaints about it seemed to be of the nature of where was the balance? But that's always a poor argument for me. Even if somebody's asking for balance for the point of view that I agree with, I would say that the argument doesn't add up to much. It's like saying if you're going to have somebody, like a rape victim is going to be interviewed, then, well, you need a convicted rapist on the panel as well. Well, of course you don't. It's absolute nonsense. He was very clear at the beginning of the documentary that what was going to be in it, and you had your not to watch if you were going to find it upsetting or annoying.
And I don't... Sorry, I just want to say I completely agree. I don't see why anyone's under an obligation to have balance in a documentary because it's your film. You're putting a point. You're putting a view across. Well, and I mean, if you did want to put balance in it, it would have been twice as long, perhaps.
But,
or something.
But look at all your sort of panorama exposés and all this. You know, they don't get balance from the people they're exposing as being, you know, child pornographers or...
Yeah. Now let's try it from their point of view. Oh, you know, I can't help it. I'm ill. I need to look at naked children. And then spend the equal amount of time...
Exactly. It's ridiculous. It's a nonsense. You know, if those people who are against assisted dying want to have their say, well, go out and make a documentary.
Yeah.
Do it, you know.
Quite right.
Go and do your own thing.
And I would
watch
it. Don't
slag off the other people for doing it just because you don't agree with them.
Hmm. Yeah, the one and only thing in a documentary you mustn't do is actually lie, which, unfortunately, Panorama have just been found guilty of doing.
Yes, yeah.
Terrible shame. But that was one film in an otherwise very good career of films.
Absolutely. But yeah, you know, I'll just say on the subject of the assisted dying, I would say from my point of view, and my point of view this week is on the blog, so we can promote the blog at this point, which is...
mine too.
Yeah, thinkrant.blogspot.com. You got Trevor's response to the show and my response to the show.
I think Trevor's is more towards the Newsnight debate, which followed it, which is another conversation.
Well, I mean, that's something else altogether, isn't it? Because that was, well, at some points it was just really frustrating to watch. But no, the actual show itself, I thought I thought they presented it in a very caring fashion, really, I suppose. Really, you had two guys on there who were not going to be there at the end of the program, you know?
I mean, I just thought it was brilliant because it was such a grown-up thing, and you just don't see programming like that, you know, looking at a very serious subject, discussing it and, you know, showing it. And, you know, when you saw that guy die, you know, I mean, it was kind of hard not to feel that.
Yeah.
You know? But how can that emotion override his will? And I think that, to me, that is what it's all about.
Well, I mean, look, the thing is one of the things to consider about this is they're saying, well, you know, he wasn't that ill when he died, you know, he wasn't that ill when he took it. But there's a couple of things to consider in that. This is Peter the Hotelier, isn't it, you're talking about. There's a couple of things to consider. First of all, if I remember correctly, he had motor neurons, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
His condition, as they filmed the show, was deteriorating. So, at the start of the show, yeah, he did seem to have a bit of difficulty with movement and things, but the doctor on the Newsnight programme following did say that his condition had deteriorated. He was starting to have problems speaking. He was starting to have problems breathing. And he was getting...
That's right, he said that there's a lot more that we couldn't possibly see.
Exactly. You know,
we're not in a position to diagnose, are we?
That's what I'm going
to
say. We're not doctors. We can't just from looking, and I'm sure a doctor couldn't do it, just by looking at a TV screen where you've got a guy who, let's be honest, is probably trying to give it his best anyway. Yeah. You know, he's probably trying to come across as strong as he possibly can for the sake of the TV. But, you know, who was obviously deteriorating and was not going to get any better and was only going to get worse. And, you know, he decided he didn't want to live that way. I mean, you know, Stephen Hawking, he has motor neurons disease, isn't he? Is it? It's motor neurons Stephen Hawking's got, isn't it, Trev?
Yeah. I'm not sure. It might be.
I'm fairly certain it is. And, you know, you can use that as an example and say, well, Stephen Hawking is still living, you know, and he's still making a very productive career and is still doing that. But, you know, there are some people who wouldn't choose to live in a wheelchair, confined to that chair, not being able to articulate themselves, their arguments, or their lives, their loves, whatever, not being able to move, and just, you know, slowly dying on the inside. And, you know, he chose that he wanted to end it all. And quite frankly, I, for one, respect that decision that he made.
I didn't want to spend too long on this because, as we said, we're gonna do it full on. But the one question that was brought up is by Dignitas, that there were people that had gone there who were just tired of living. Do you support their right to...
This is something I've had to have a think about, because I guess I was a little bit disturbed when they said on the programme about it, because 21% I think is quite a high proportion.
Can I interject?
Yeah, please do.
There's a feeling that I have about when he was asked that question. He was saying everybody else has a terminal illness, and the remainder, well, they're just weary of life. That doesn't mean these are perfectly healthy people.
No, sure.
The point about, and this is something that wasn't even brought up in the debate afterwards by anybody on the pro-assisted dying side, which I thought was a shame, is that suicide is legal. There's nothing to stop a perfectly healthy person from killing themselves. The reason why we need to provide it for people who become debilitated is because they can't do it for themselves.
Yes.
And it doesn't mean that you're saying as soon as you're not able to kill yourself, you should kill yourself because your life's not worth living anymore. Not at all. But that option is available to every able-bodied person.
Yeah.
But I realize as well that they don't want to say that on TV too much, because somebody with mental illness might take that as encouragement. And definitely we don't want to encourage that kind of thing.
Yeah, because that was something which, going back to Peter, struck me with Peter. I mean, when they did the test, say, can you take the drug yourself? He was struggling to lift that glass up.
Yeah.
And he was struggling to drink that glass of champagne that he had. When they said, you know, this is about the amount of liquid you'll have to drink, you have to drink it yourself. Because that was the most important thing which struck me out of the whole system. Is I was under the impression that what happened to Dignitas is you went there, you lay down on a nice bed, they plugged you in, bang, zapped you with drugs, and away you went. That's kind of what I thought.
Yeah.
But no, they can't do that, because physically somebody's not able to help you commit suicide. All they can do is provide the tools. You have to take the choice to take those drugs yourself. Nobody is administering those drugs to you. And you can say at any point, no, I don't want to do it. Which seems to me, in terms of safety and in preventing enforced euthanasia, then I suppose, by unscrupulous family members and what have you, then that should take away some of that danger of that happening, because you have to be able to take those drugs yourself. And, you know, at the end of the day, if you don't want to die, you're not going to take those drugs.
Yeah. There's only the, you know, guilting people into an aspect. But sorry, no, the only point, I was just making a pure thought experiment, as in, would you support someone's right to die just because they were just literally just...
And I have thought about this, and I have to be consistent, and I have to say yes. Because what I would hope is, if somebody who was just weary of life and didn't have a terminal illness and was just somebody who was, you know, about to jump off a bridge,
or what just struggling with some health conditions.
What I would hope is that they would go to the equivalent of Dignitas, whatever that would be, to go there and say, you know, this is what I want to do. And for the people there to say, well, let's give you some proper counselling first. Let's, you know, try this out. And if at the end of that, you know, this is still where you want to be, fine.
Trev?
Well, I hope we've given the people who are against it enough to argue about, and hopefully they can get on the website and comment on the threads that we put up, and give us something to talk about when we have a full hour-long or possibly longer thrash about it.
Yeah.
But we could easily go on for ages.
Definitely. And I was hoping to address a lot of the points that had already been left on the posts, But because we've decided to do a full episode to it, I just want to make it clear, you know, we're not chickening out or anything.
No, and there are some really interesting points to be made on both sides.
And also...
On the blog, so go and have a read of it, because that can be good preparation ready for when we do actually...
But we are looking to do a program with what people would call balance. You know, there's no point just the three of us all agreeing, because then that's kind of a bit sterile. So we are hoping to have some balance. So I'll make announcements on the blog, etc., as it happens.
Great.
Who's next? We've got 10 minutes exactly.
Okay, well, I'd love to tell you something that I read in Wednesday's Eye. I read a rather unfortunate turn of phrase, writing about the Democrat Congressman Anthony Weiner and his recent meat and two veg photo opportunity debacle. Washington correspondent Thomas wrote that Mr. Weiner, 46, has defied mounting calls from other leaders of his own party. Now, Anthony Weiner seems like a guy who, if he receives something named a mounting call, would shove the phone down his junk before the screen lights up. But it turns out the journalist meant that there have been an escalation of demands for his resignation. Yeah. At the moment, he's been given 2 weeks off to get treatment, which sounds very dodgy. If it's an underlying mental problem, that's going to take more than 2 weeks. And if it's just, sorry, I just went a bit strange there, then he doesn't need any. But how does any of it affect his ability in his job? John F. Kennedy was doing all sorts of dodgy stuff. If John F. Kennedy had Facebook and mobile phones taking pictures, can you imagine?
Well, Bill Clinton.
Good grief. Well, yes, we would have had Bill Clinton. He managed to keep a lid on him.
I also read a story, and I don't know if it is the same person, but I was under the impression that also there was a suggestion that he'd engaged in something with an underage person, so that there is a possible criminal side to this this debacle. It's not just a case of consenting adults misbehaving on the internet. So.
I haven't caught that.
It was at the very end of the article. I thought it was quite strange that they put it at the end, and they were more focused on what he'd been doing with women on the internet. Which, to be honest, it's not really a problem, is it?
Hmm.
But I'll have to double check that now because. But I'm sure it was this. He's a Democrat, isn't he?
Yeah.
And Obama came out and even Obama has put pressure on him to so I think it is the same one, so I am actually pretty sure that there is some sort of underage thing perhaps as well.
There was something else in that same paper which you guys are going to love. Celibacy Crusader MP invited to Playboy Club. Can you guess who it is?
The Dean?
It is! Seemingly the subject of a practical joke, Conservative MP Nadine Dorries posted a bemused response on her blog to a letter from the club in Mayfair thanking her for a membership application. In a reply to the club, the MP put the incident down to malicious or mischievous attention because of her high profile. Now, as funny as that seems, it looks like Dorries has more column inches to whine about morals. Now, I'm not suggesting Nadine Dorries actually sent that application herself. That's all I'm going to say. I'm not suggesting that.
No.
Just to get in the papers again, whining about everybody else's business.
Because she's seriously persecuted. Have you heard? You know, I mean, it's unbelievable what people are doing to her. She's a normal MP with sick, twisted... right-wing views, and she can't understand why people think that she's a complete bitch. I do you know why, Steve? No, he's shaking his head. Yeah. So, yeah, Nadine Dorries is a tool, and Denham as well. He's a tool. Is it Denham? No. Okay. Denham is a tool. He's Labour, but he's a tool as well.
Just make sure whoever you're calling a tool is definitely a tool.
No,
we'll find out why later.
Yeah, but I tell you why Denham's a tool, because I sent him an email. It was about, do you remember they were setting up these faith panels? The government wanted to go and talk to religious people about policy. So I sent a very stern email saying, well, why do you need to speak to one part of society but not the other? But I just got some very poor wishy-washy. He obviously didn't read it, or whoever replied to it didn't read my email. So he's a cock, basically, as well. Sorry if you're a Labour supporter.
Well, for suggesting the thing in the first place, he's clearly a tool, as you quite rightly say.
Yes. Treadnik, sorry, he was the tool. He's the one about...
God.
But we won't dwell
he's
on
He's a
it,
lunatic.
So. Yes. Literally, well, yeah, he is. He loves the moon.
You can't operate because of where one thing
no,
I...
No, your blood doesn't clot on a full moon. so much mileage in that one. Have you heard this story about... this gentleman, plumber Ian Puddick, who tweeted his wife's affair with another man.
Yes.
Yeah, so what's happened is he tweeted it, and he was brought up on harassment charges. These have now been... He's been cleared, okay? Now, this story in itself is not that interesting. Not that I think, anyway. But this does put into kind of context the super injunction... debate that's going on, because if this guy is able to publish, and that's what tweeting is, publishing, if he's able to publish details such as this and get away with it, not a problem, then how come papers can't do it? How come now, in other words, they're pulling the rug from within under super injunction?
Yeah, but it all depends whether they had an injunction against him or not, didn't they? If there was no injunction, then...
Yeah, but the whole argument over injunctions is whether it's in the public interest.
Yeah, but you can tweet whatever you want. Yeah, you could tweet about famous footballers having affairs with ex-Big Brother models, provided there was no super injunction against it.
Right, but that's what I mean, is they've granted these super injunctions saying that there's a reason to grant it privacy. Now, I would say that normal people have a right to more privacy than a famous person, just because... famous people kind of have to accept some kind of...
choosing to live in the public eye.
Yeah. So what I want to know is how come that the judge says, well, this is fair game, and yet other judges have said, no, we need to protect people's privacy.
Well, I don't think it's a case of that, is it? I think the difference you've got is that for a super injunction, a footballer will pay the court £100,000 for the privilege of them taking out a super injunction. It sounds to me that the guy... who obviously is the, I use the term in inverted commas, victim, has gone to the court without £100,000 to get a super injunction, and therefore the judge has gone, it's all right, mate, I've got 100 grand.
Well, no, he's just, it was a criminal harassment case. But what I'm saying is, you know, reporting-wise, there seems to be a double standard here.
I can see where you're coming from. I'm not sure that there is. I think that the fact of the matter is that people weren't allowed to report on the stuff protected by the super injunction because the super injunction had been taken out. Yeah.
No, I understand. That's I thought you get confused with my point. My point is, why, if this is the kind of attitude towards people publishing is private information, why has any super injunction been given? Mm. Because apparently everyone's fair game, according to this. Not that I'm taking any particular side.
Well, like I said, it depends. You've got 100 grand... to spend to the court, and you know, equal amount of money to spend on a lawyer.
Okay, you got anything else, Trev?
There's one last thing I'd love to be able to get into this podcast. See if you guys can guess. If you take a potato and you stab it 3 times with a broken pencil, what do you get? That's right. It's Eric Pickles has said that councils owe you a £450 rebate. He's had experts studying the waste in councils and needing to remove weekly bin collections to fortnightly or even monthly. It's not necessary at all. The councils are being wasteful and we should have a good look at it because, what does he say, we've always said that sunlight is the best disinfectant. Well, no wonder he looks so ill. My God.
Sunlight is the best disinfectant.
What a dick. But it's that familiar lazy tactic of saying that everybody else has been wasteful and we're going to come in and sort it all out.
Yeah, and it's
nobody intends to be wasteful unless there's a change of government coming in and councillors decide to crap on the carpet, metaphorically, on the way out.
And I find that this is quite interesting in light of what's happened to the announcement today that to stimulate the economy, they are actually going to cut taxes. So... it's become, well, it's almost like fate, isn't it? People said this was going to happen. The people said, no, they're not going to do, there's no ideology here. And yet they have actually done what everyone expected Tories to do, which was shaft the poor people and then
cut the taxes
and then
for
reduce
the rich
taxes
people.
For the rich people. So, you know, I mean, if there anybody out there actually did think that, then maybe there's a chance the Conservatives weren't ideologically driven, you're wrong. And I may actually put myself into that category as well. Because I was going to give them the benefit of the doubt, and they've shown that to all Tories are twats. Yeah.
So, sorry, this is live, I know, but you know.
Explicit tag.
So,
yeah. But yeah, but basically he's doing that old trick of pointing at some waste and saying, it's the fault of the waste, it's terrible. And that tactic is just childish, pointless, and a revolting pink mess I can't even look at without wanting to vomit. Sorry, that last comment might just apply to Eric Pickles himself.
But the
first two definitely is.
But talking of waste, if I can just fit this in very quickly, because I'm sure you guys will all be disappointed to know this. Do you remember the teenage hit sensation of Rebecca Black and her timeless
tune? Teenage
hit
sensation, or was that just
No, that was just you. And her timeless classic, Friday, gotta get down on Friday. You'll be sad to know that it's been removed from YouTube.
What?
It's been taken off YouTube. What? Because it's currently the centre of a image rights dispute between her and her record company. The Arc Music Factory, yeah. Apparently they wanted to try and start charging money for Rebecca's awesome hit. A $2.99 rental fee, apparently, to watch it. So Rebecca...
Well, that would have been...
angrily,
that's another way to stop it, isn't it?
Angrily addressed this matter on Twitter. Thanks for the messages regarding the $2.99 fee added for the Friday video. I have nothing to do with this. My lawyers will be getting to the bottom of this.
Oh, that's all right. Because I was just about to issue another death threat against the bitch.
So yeah, it's down. It's not. I'm sorry, guys. You know.
Well, to be honest, I mean, some of the original parodies were quite funny, but I was getting a bit bored of it. And at least if they're taking the source material offline, it'll stop people posting it on Facebook. Stop doing that, all right? It's not funny anymore. Stop posting it on Facebook. I don't care how clever you think your parody is. Okay, it's finished. No more. In fact, I'm going to make this announcement now. If anybody I know posts a Black video, okay, a Friday parody, or even the original, I don't care, I will defriend you.
And Trev, there's an invitation for you guys.
And Trev, don't go doing it intentionally.
Okay. Yeah. Perhaps you should make it clear that it's a Rebecca Black video.
Rebecca Black.
Yeah, not a Black video.
Because yeah, that could be taken very badly.
Yeah.
We're not that kind of podcast.
No, we're not. Thanks for looking out for me there, Trev. I'm not a racist at all. But yeah, Rebecca Black, I'm sick of her. So, okay.
Well, you know, you won't have to be sick of her anymore because she's not on YouTube. It's gone.
Unless this is just a PR stunt. She's actually going to release a new video, a new song.
Ooh, exciting times.
I don't want to see that one either.
It's Saturday.
I bet that would be as unoriginal as it gets. Or something like Hungover Saturday, they'll call it.
And her first album will be called 7 Days.
Oh. Okay. Right, are we all done?
I'm done.
I'm completely done, yes.
Great.
I'm spent.
Well, thanks everyone for listening. Just a quick reminder, you can check us out. The blog is thinkrant.blogspot.com. You can find us on Facebook, search for Think Rant. At Think Rant is the Twitter feed. That's it. So get in touch with us, and hopefully next week we will be at least as funny as this, if not a bit funnier. I am actually trying
we'll
to.
We'll be 25% funnier.
We yeah.
How can they check?
Well, I suppose if we just remove.
Well,
Stephen,
studies are emerging week on week that we are getting funnier.
Evidence suggests.
We are getting funnier.
So, and I just wanted to say, I have actually asked someone to do a theme tune for the podcast, okay? So as soon as that arrives, I'll be introducing it. If you're listening, hurry up. I want that theme tune. No, I'm just kidding. You're doing me a favor. You're doing it for free. You're a great guy. But if you can hurry up, I would appreciate it. You know, because to be honest, I'm just thinking about filling some bloody glasses with water and rubbing my finger on them and making my own cheat theme tune. So hurry the hell up. Okay. That's it. Thanks for listening, guys. And we'll catch you next week.
Ta-da.